Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new episode, the latest episode of Mastering Marriage. It's been a while since I recorded a podcast. I've been really busy with my PhD. I had to turn in a paper, 18-page paper. And I've also been busy teaching and doing some other stuff. I got a big family, so. But I appreciate, I've noticed that I've been gaining listeners, and I appreciate those of you who are listening in. I'm hoping to entertain you, but and also educate you. Today's going to be a little bit different from my normal podcast. Normally, I focus on, if you've been listening along, normally I focus on the men in marriage because, as I've quoted in the past, the divorce, females file for divorce about 70% of the time. 69 to 70% of the time. So obviously females are fleeing marriages much more than males are. So I always thought to focus on the males because they're the ones who are having the issues in general. Not all the time, but generally speaking. So, but on this podcast episode, I wanted to talk to the women, married women out there. And it could also be a woman in a long-term relationship. But specifically, I'm trying to focus on marriages because it's more of a committed relationship, but this could apply, like I said, to women who are long-term relationships with a male. And so I wanted to focus on women because women, I have several theories about why women are become unhappy in their marriages, and it doesn't all have to do with it's always the men's fault, because it's obviously it's not. Although men have a huge issues, have a huge problem in I was going to say keeping their wives happy, but I've thought of that for a long time. And it, men are not required to keep their wives happy. That's not part of our duties. Men are required to treat their wives well and respect their wives and behave like an honorable man. And I guess I should say satisfy their wife. Now, whether that makes the wife happy is going to be up to the woman, right? To the wife. So a man, a husband, should not be required to make the wife happy. That's the wife's job. And so that's going to lead right into what I'm about to talk about today. A man cannot make a woman happy. A woman cannot make a man happy. We can only try to satisfy our partner's needs in every way, shape, or form. And then if our spouse wants to become happy or decides to become happy, then that's kind of on them. Because you have some people that their partner does everything possible to make them happy, and the person's still never happy, and they end up cheating or divorcing or whatever. So I'm going to teach women on this podcast the common mistakes that they're making in their marriage, why they're not getting what they want, why they might feel unfulfilled, why they seem like they might be stressed out, why they're not sexually fulfilled by their husbands, why they feel like something's missing. And sometimes this might lead to either divorce or a woman cheating on her husband. And technically, some of it may be the result of the actions or inactions taken by the male, but a lot of that is instigated by the female, and I'll explain that here in a minute. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to review some statistics and some theory that I put together for a presentation when I got my sex coaching certification. I made a presentation, and I titled it The Importance of the Female Orgasm. And so the first thing I did, and I want to do here, is go over some basic biology. And this is not going to be boring, trust me, because it's all relevant to a woman getting what she wants. So if you're a woman listening in, pay attention to the things I'm going to say, because it's all science-based. It's none of it's my opinion. And it's going to help you out in the long run, trust me. First thing is I stress that the human body consists of naturally occurring chemical reactions that influence everyone's behavior. Example, when we get hungry, blood levels of ghrelin are highest when we're hungry, and the ghrelin hormone called, hunger hormone called ghrelin, the blood levels lower after we eat. So there's hormones that affect our appetite. When you see something that's attractive or a person is attractive, there's a hormone called dopamine that's released in our body. It's shown to stimulate sexual behavior. So if you see somebody that's attractive, that might be why you start to get aroused. If you look at a piece of art and you find it nice, a lot of people pay a lot of money for art. The reason why is it's artwork has been shown to reduce the stress hormone called cortisol. So let's focus on female stress. According to a 2012 study by the American Psychological Association, also known as the APA, on average, women report feeling more stressed than men in general. Women worry more than men about pretty much everything. Common sources of stress for women include caring for their husbands, which is a full-time job pretty much, caring for the children, keeping the house clean, and also a lot of women have careers as well. So there's a lot of stress on women, number one. And then number two, women already physiologically feel, they're more inclined to feel stressed out as it is. Women are more likely than men to report having a great deal of stress in their lives, 28% to 20%. That's according to the APA study. And then when you add in the marriage, married women report higher levels of stress than single women. They feel more irritable or angry at 52% versus 38% for single women. They get headaches more often. Women get headaches, married women, at about 48% versus 33% for single women. And married women also feel more fatigue at around 47% versus 35% for single women. Now let's talk about sexual satisfaction for women, because that is the way for women to relieve a lot of that stress. And according to research surveys, the most important single predictor of sexual satisfaction for women is the orgasm. So having an orgasm for women is healthy. It affects their sexuality. It gives them sexual pleasure, and it also relieves a lot of the stress of a woman. A study found that orgasms are important. The study's by Kontula, 2009. Actually, I believe that's a textbook. But orgasms are important predictors of happy relationships and related sexual satisfaction. So I'm going to repeat that because that's pretty important. Female orgasms are important predictors of happy relationships and related sexual satisfaction. Happy relationships for women were associated with orgasm capacity. So if you're a female and you're not having orgasms, you're going to have a lower chance of being in a happy marriage than a woman that is not having orgasms. So orgasms equals happiness for women in terms of, and this is surveys done with females. And although women have had more trouble achieving orgasms than men, the subjective descriptions of orgasms do not differ between the two genders, which indicates both sexes get similar feelings of happiness with orgasms. So men and women, they experience orgasms. The feeling itself is very similar. Now, when a woman has an orgasm, what does it release? It releases multiple beneficial hormones, oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. Oxytocin is known as the love hormone. It's very important. And it's the hormone that appears, according to a study, appears to hold the leading position among candidates for the substance of happiness, building trust, and social bonding. So if you want to have happiness, Oxytocin's the one of the major players in that. There's a lot of benefits to a lot of these hormones, but I don't want to get too deep into it at this time. I'm going to put that into my book, my next book. So, because I'm going to start talking about behavioral things that females can do to fix a lot of their sexual issues and a lot of their marriage issues. But I will go over a couple of things that orgasms do. Orgasms stimulate the brain the exact same way, well, not the exact, but the same way that drugs, alcohol consumption, gambling, listening to music, and enjoying a delicious meal do. And that's a study written by Mitro Kostas in 2019, so it's a relatively new study. So basically, if people who take drugs, people who drink, people who gamble, people get addicted to these things sometimes. People who like to listen to music, and then if you've ever gone out and or made yourself a really delicious meal, those feelings that you get when your brain is stimulated by doing those activities is very similar to orgasm. So orgasms result in increased sexual satisfaction, reduction in stress, and just as important, when a woman has orgasms, that increases bonding with their sexual partner. And we're talking about the male-female relationship here. But it's still going to apply to female, female, male, male. But I'm going to focus more on the male, female, because it's the most common by far. So why are a lot of women who file for divorce, obviously they're going to not be happy. They're going to be unhappy. They're going to be lonely. They're going to feel like something's wrong. Just go down the checklist where women become unhappy, unsatisfied. So before I talk about how to fix it, I'm going to talk about one more study. It's a psychological study. It's called Gender Differences in Personality Across the 10 Aspects of the Big Five. And it's written by three PhD professors. And the one part that I want to focus on is it basically talks about the difference psychologically between men and women. And so it talks about women tend to have more anxiety than men and low self-esteem. And women also are more agreeable than men are. The study actually cites women consistently score higher than men on agreeableness and related measures such as tender-mindedness. Women also score somewhat higher than men on some facets of conscientiousness such as order, dutifulness, and self-discipline. So basically what the study says, it also goes on and says, women tend to score higher than men on warmth, positive emotions, and gregariousness. So basically what the study is saying, one of the things it's saying is that women are more tender, they're more caring, they're more considerate. I think that's the word I was probing for, the adjective that I'm looking for. It's considerate, okay? So women are more considerate than men. And so when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to sex, generally speaking, women are going to try to take care of the man. And that's going to be their concern because that's the way they are built psychologically. So a woman wants to take care of the man, make him happy, make him have an orgasm, and make sure that the man feels satisfied. So another thing to ponder is, I've said it on my podcast before, but I think it's been a while. On average, studies have found that women take longer than men to achieve orgasm, approximately 13 minutes for females versus approximately 5 minutes for males. So it takes a woman over twice as long on average to come to come to an orgasm than a man. So what does that mean? That means that it's not really a fair, sexual encounters between men and women are not really fair. They don't start out at the same point. It's almost like as if men and women start a race and, let's say on a football field, the man starts at the 5-yard line and the woman starts way back at the 13-yard line and they race into the end zone. The guy's going to get there first. The woman's never going to get to score. So a lot of times men have the problem where they get so excited. They're into their wife. They're turned on. Next thing you know, they're coming in their wife. They're having an orgasm. And the woman is still warming up, basically. They're not even halfway to their orgasm. So what happens is the man finishes and assumes that he's feeling so good because of all these hormones that are released during sex and during the orgasm. He's assuming that because he had orgasm with his wife, that she's satisfied. In reality, what happens is the females don't have the opportunity, the time to achieve the orgasm. And therefore, if this happens over and over again, which it likely does to a man who doesn't understand this, okay, he's never going to bring his wife to orgasm, or almost never. And so what happens? What happens is the man, the male, feels satisfied, sexually satisfied, right? He's got satisfaction in his sex life. So he's strutting around the office at work, and he's whistling, thinking how great his marriage is. On the other hand, the female walks around in a perpetual state of sexual dissatisfaction because she's not reaching orgasm. She might even think that she has a problem. She can't reach orgasm. She's not good at it. And so what happens is if a woman is perpetually walking around sexually unsatisfied, what starts to happen, in my opinion, from all the research I've done, and I have done a lot of research, not only in books and research studies and getting my sexology certification, sex coaching certification, but when I was a detective, I was with the police department, San Antonio Police Department. I was able to see firsthand how there was a lot of women leaving their husbands, because we would get a lot of stalking or harassment cases, which it was almost always the male. So what happens is the men don't understand why the female, the wife, is leaving them or sleeping with someone else or sleeping around. But what's actually happened is the female, the wife, was not sexually satisfied, okay? And so what happens is she and it might even be subconsciously, she's not satisfied, so she becomes unhappy. Well, the husband's happy, the wife's unhappy, and so the husband doesn't see it coming. The wife gets hit on by some other male. What I think happens is subconsciously, the wife, who may be very religious or very loyal person, they become seduced by another male, because what they're actually doing is they're actually wondering in their minds, my husband's not satisfying me, maybe this guy can satisfy me. And maybe their brains are making the women, the wives, look around at other men. And vice versa, if you have a woman that is constantly being sexually satisfied by her husband, she's very less likely to look around. Why should she? If a woman's getting everything she needs from one male, why should she be looking around at another male? Doesn't matter how good looking he is or how much money he has. If the husband is taking care of the wife in every way, shape, or form, including bringing her to orgasm on a regular basis, okay, then there's no reason for the wife to leave him, to even think about leaving him. Why? I mean, she's satisfied. And if she's satisfied, she's probably going to be happy. And if she's happy, happy women are not cheaters, okay? The only women that are happy and cheaters, in my opinion, are women who they don't want to settle down, or they're not in love, or they're just broken inside, and they're just, you know, they're just have some kind of psychological deficiency, and they're just bouncing around from person to person. But if you have a stable, if you have a stable wife and you treat her like a queen, you treat her right, and you sexually satisfy her on a regular basis, she's very likely to be happy, loyal, and in a good mood, and not nagging you, and not overly worrying about stuff. So that's my spiel on it. That's my theory on it. And I think it's a very strong theory. I pulled a lot of this from these case studies, for example, the gender differences in personality across the 10 aspects of the Big Five. It was written by Dr. Weisberg, Dr. DeYoung, and Dr. Hirsch. I took a lot from the lectures of probably one of the smartest men on the planet, Dr. Jordan Peterson. I read two very fascinating books. Women's Infidelity 1, Women's Infidelity 2, they're digital ebooks. Michelle Langley is the author's name. And I also received a year of training in sex coaching certification. Plus, I was a detective and an officer and a sergeant for 23 years, where I got actual experience not only talking to females and males and about their breaking relationships, but I also got to see this behavior up close firsthand while it was happening. And a lot of therapists don't even get to see that. You know, they just see stuff in the sterile office environment in their on their couches, and they'll see some arguing, but as a police officer, I was able to see the not just the arguing, but the violence and the real issues that were there inside the home, because I was in people's home when they were breaking up, or one would find another one cheating, and I would get to hear all the conversations, and it was basically firsthand research. I didn't even know I was doing research at the time. I was just handling the calls. But so I have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge about this, not because I'm such a smarty pants, but because this has always kind of fascinated me, like I've said in past podcasts, how people can, you know, it's crazy. They date each other, right? Let's say man and woman, they date each other. They spend God knows how much money courting his girlfriend. Then he goes out and spends $5,000-$10,000 on a diamond ring. Then they take some trip to Hawaii or Japan or God knows where they go, Europe, and then spend another $20,000 or $30,000. And then 5 years later, they're filing for divorce, or the woman's filing for divorce or pressing charges against the male. And that always fascinated me. Like, Jesus, how can people invest so much money and time in another human being? And then the next thing you know, it's crashing and burning years, not too many years later. Some marriages last like a year, 2 years, like not even very long. And then to see the torture, the pain of a divorce up close when I was handling these disturbances of families being broken up and kids being fought over and separated from the one of the parent to the other, and, you know, people moving out of the house and new boyfriends moving in or new girlfriends moving in. So all that fascinated me and inspired me to research this. Not only that, there's stories, and I clipped one out, and I got to look for where I put the clipping, but I clipped out a story where, you know, the mom, the wife, the husband's getting divorced from the wife, and the wife kills her kids and then kills herself. There was a story a couple of years ago. I clipped that out, and I have it somewhere in my files, in my desk somewhere, amongst the clutter. So the failure of these relationships has real-world consequences, very expensive consequences for everybody involved. The wife, the husband, the kids, the dog, the house, the money, the cars, it's just child support payments, pension payments. It's just, to me, it's always been really crazy. So I've been on this journey to try to figure out why are these relationships where the husband and wife are psychologically stable, why are they divorcing? Why go to that extent? So let's go to the part probably that females are going to be the most interested in, but males too, but mostly this is for the women out there. I've laid the groundwork, okay? You know that you're going to be more, you're going to have more anxiety than men are, okay? It's a psychological phenomenon. It's just the way we're born, right? We're born different. Men and women are different. Men are bigger and stronger. Women are nicer. Women are more warm. Women have are able more nurturing. Okay, so that's why the females are oftentimes better at raising children. So we have our biological differences. Okay, so you have to get that. You have to understand that point, because if you think men and women are the same and we're basically all human and we're equal, it's not true. It's not true at all. Studies show study after study after study. They even have what's that book? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, right? Which is basically saying, and everybody reads it and like, oh yeah, that's true. Like everybody knows we're different. Men and women are different. So, women knowing this, one of your weaknesses in a relationship is that you are too agreeable, which means that, and you're too considerate, and tender-mindedness is what it's called in the study. So when a man and a woman, husband and wife, are getting intimate, a woman is going to try to care for the husband more than herself. She's too selfless. She's going to try to take care of her husband's sexual needs first, because that's how she's built, right? We just went over the psychological study. Women are more agreeable. Women have more tender-mindedness. And women also have more self-discipline. I read the study right now looking at it. So overall, women, you try to take care of the man's needs. Now, men, on the other hand, are less agreeable than women, okay? Men in general, okay, according to the study, they are more assertive and they have higher scores on assertiveness and excitement seeking. So a man is not psychologically built to ensure that his wife completes the sexual act and reaches orgasm. So men are not going to try. The number one thing on most men's mind is not, I want to have sex with my wife and make her reach orgasm. That's not how men think. Men think, I can't wait to make love to my wife. Okay, I'll give you the rated PG version, right? But let's say in reality, men might think, I can't wait to fuck my wife, the rated R version, fuck my wife and come inside of her. She's so hot. Look at that ass. Look at those tits. Look at that body. So that's how men think. And so men are built to have sex with their wife as much as possible and complete the sex act, come to orgasm as fast as possible. Some scientists believe that the reason that is because they were biologically built that way, so that the quicker we come inside of a woman, we orgasm, the better the chance that we're going to get her pregnant, something to that effect. But even then, let's add, I'm going to remind you, a study bought in 2020 in Waldinger in 2005, and they examined the orgasm, the time frame it takes for men and women to get orgasms, which I went over earlier, right? So men take 5 minutes to orgasm while women take 13 minutes. So we've established the fact that men are going to not only come faster than women, orgasm faster, they're not going to care that the women don't orgasm as much, right? Because they have lower levels of tender-mindedness, right? They're not as agreeable. They're not as caring. They're not as warm as women. So not only are they going to come faster, they're going to care less about the female's feelings. They're going to care more about their own. So females have a kind of a double whammy there. Number one, they take longer to orgasm. And then number two, they care more about their husband's orgasm, their husband's sexual satisfaction. So women have it bad two different ways. Physically, they take longer to orgasm, and psychologically, they care more about the husband's satisfaction. So you're thinking, okay, so what's the answer? Well, when I did my presentation to get my sex coaching certification, I found a study that shows by Szczesny in 2015, 62% of women always orgasm during masturbation, while only 27% of women always orgasm during sexual intercourse when their penis enters the vagina. So what does that say? Women are running around, they're unsatisfied, and they're satisfying themselves. 62% versus 27%. So only 27% of women are being sexually satisfied by their male partners with the penis-vagina intercourse. That's not even a third. So let's just suppose, throw that stat into marriages. So a third, less than a third of women in marriages are always orgasming during sexual intercourse. But 62% of women always orgasm during masturbation. So you see it in movies and you read it in the literature and magazines. And I guess women have had to revert to using dildos or toys to bring themselves to orgasm because men are not taking care of business. So you're thinking right now, you're screaming at this podcast saying, well, then how is it our fault? If men don't know what they're doing, if men don't understand us and don't think, are not warm enough, tender-mindedness, I don't even know if that's how you'd say it. If they're not warm enough and caring enough to make sure that you as females come to orgasm, doesn't take the time to get you to orgasm in your approximately 13 minutes of time, then why is it the woman's fault? How is that possible? And I'll tell you how it's possible. It's not your fault, but I'm just saying what you can do to improve the situation. Women, you've got to become more assertive in the bedroom. You've got to learn how to become assertive. You've got to take control of your sex life with your husband. You've got to tell him what you want. You got to tell him what you like. And when you first start this, I want you to do something for me. Not only do you tell him what you want, what you like, you focus completely on yourself. Forget the guy. Forget your husband. Trust me. Just forget him. Forget his needs. It doesn't matter. And I'll tell you why. The thing that turns me on more than anything in the whole world sexually is seeing my wife orgasm. So if I get my wife off, which I do very often, that makes me feel great and satisfied and happy. Now remember, guys take what, an average 5 minutes? So if my wife uses my body to make herself orgasm, she's in a great mood afterwards, I can finish up what I got to do in less than 5 minutes if I need to, because it takes her, what, 13 minutes longer than that? So when she's done, I'm about ready to be done so I can finish up what I need to do as a husband. And trust me, ladies, if you focus on yourself and say, screw him, I'm just going to take care of myself, and then let him have his way with you afterwards, he's going to be happy. Trust me, because he's going to come to orgasm. He's going to have seen you come to orgasm. If you roll into that at a later time, after you learn how to take care of yourself and put yourself first, if you learn later on to give your husband blowjobs and oral sex, and then throw in other stuff into the mix, then your sex life is going to take off. It's going to take off out of the stratosphere. You and your husband will have the greatest sex life you ever thought imaginable. Let me point you to an example. And you might even think that you are aggressive, or you act sexy, or just because you flash your tits or something that you're all that, and that should be good enough. And it's not. And I'll tell you who you should take notes from, who society The perfect example of women that understand this concept is strippers. Strippers know how to manipulate men. They know how men think. They understand men. That's why goofy guys go out to strip clubs to women who don't give a damn about them, and they'll throw down hundreds of dollars for lap dances. And they might even have a prettier wife at home, a sexier wife at home. And these numbnuts will still go to the strip clubs to give money to a woman to pay attention to them, to act sexy, to manipulate them. So deep down inside, I believe that most men want to be manipulated and used in the bedroom for a wife's sexual needs. So basically, I'm not saying you need to strip for your husband or act like a stripper. What I'm saying is that understand that you have so much power as a female over your husband. You have so much power over him and have so much potential power. It's ridiculous. And if you ever comprehend that, the power that you hold in your hands, I don't care if you've gained a couple pounds after you got married or lost a couple pounds, you don't. You have issues, maybe body issues that you don't feel good about yourself. Sometimes women have babies and stuff and they don't feel so good about themselves. And I'll be honest with you on that. Men who have husbands who have wives who have had children and they have go through changes, a lot of times men will see that as a turn on. You might see it as, oh, I don't like these stretch marks. I don't like, you know, my boobs got bigger and maybe they sagged a little bit. Men, a lot of men, and I'll count myself on this. I got turned on when my wife's body changed, because, and even when you're pregnant and you have a big stomach with a baby in there, a lot of women think they don't feel attractive or whatever. That's the silliest thing, because you're carrying his baby. That's a turn on. Okay, but you gotta look at it that way. You gotta look at it. Look, you gotta talk to talk and tell your husband, look, I'm carrying your baby. Doesn't that turn you on? Did you like knocking me up? Did you like getting me pregnant? There's so many ways that most women that I found don't understand men. And so I'm going to conclude this podcast by saying, women, you need to take control of your relationship. In terms of the intimacy, when you go out, when it's you and your husband and you go out for drinks or you go on a date, take some control, make the agenda for the night, take control and say, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to use you tonight for my own sexual pleasure. I'm going to use you as my own personal dildo. Guys love that. And if your husband doesn't like you saying that to him, then there's other problems going on. Either maybe he doesn't, and it's going to be rare. So this is not for most of you ladies, but those of you few ladies who try to take control and your husband is not responding, he might be either into another woman temporarily or permanently. He may have fallen in love with someone else. He may have other issues going on. He may have problems with sexual issues that men get as they get older. There might be other issues, money issues, that's really bringing him down. Maybe he's depressed or something. But in a normal relationship, if you seduce your husband and verbally talk to him like as if you're a stripper and you tell him what you want to do to him later and what he needs to do to get you off, you're going to get a huge response from your husband. And those of you listening that you don't do that, or you think you're too nervous to do that, or you know you don't feel you're aggressive enough to do that, you need to put all that aside and do it, because you will get so much more. You'll have your husband bringing you lunch at work or visiting you. If he's at work, he'll try to take the time out to meet you for lunch somewhere, or he'll try to hang out with you more often. He'll pay more attention. He'll start putting the joystick down if he plays video games, or instead of going to the garage and doing his hobbies, he's going to start wanting to go on walks with you, bike rides with you, hikes with you. He might want to start massaging you, holding your hand more often. So just try to take control of your marriage. Try to take control of the intimacy. Try to take control of your sexuality. Put yourself in charge. And a normal man who doesn't have major issues elsewhere, he's going to respond. Stop worrying so much about things other than your marriage. And that's another thing. Ladies, you need to be honest with him. If there's issues where you're, let's say you work full time or even part time and you're tired and you're too tired to have sex and you're too tired to do these things I'm asking you to do, then you need to sit him down away from the kids, take him out, have a drink somewhere, and tell him what you need. That's the last thing I'm going to end. This is the last thing I'm going to end on, but it's important. Tell your husband what you need to have great sex with him. Tell him, this is what I need you to do for me to feel like I'm going to have sex with you. I want to have more sex with you. And I guarantee you he'll do it. So if it's a normal situation and there's nothing else going on in his life, something weird or abnormal. So tell him, hey, I'm tired. I come home. I do the laundry. I vacuum. I do the dishes. I help the kids with the homework. I cook dinner. And I'm worn out by the time it's time to go to bed. I got to wake up at 7:30 or 7 the next morning or 6:30. So I'm not in the mood to have sex. I'm just too tired to blow you or to have sex with you. So, but you have to ask, wives need to treat husbands like we're monkeys or like we're dogs. You need to guide us, tell us like we're dumb. Okay. Even if we're not dumb, treat us that way. Say, look, in order for us to have more sex, I need you to help me because I'm tired, and just tell them all the things I just said. If all the chores you got to do and the picking up your kid from school or whatever, and say, look, if you were to do the dishes and vacuum once in a while, I would have more energy for you in the bedroom. If you were to help Junior there or Sally with her homework, I'd have more energy for you in the bedroom. If you were to give me a foot rub because my feet really hurt after working all day, and I don't feel in the mood because my feet are throbbing, you're going to get results and he's going to start massaging your feet. But request it, right? Even though that goes against your psychological leanings, right? Because women are not as assertive as men, right? According to the study that I talked about. So you're going to have to learn to tell your husband what you want. Say, can I have a foot rub? But tell him why. Don't just say, can I have a foot rub? My feet hurt. So what you do is you tell him, look, I want to start having more intimacy with you, but my feet are always aching. Can you massage my feet so I have more, less pain, and I'll feel more intimate, and we can have more intimacy together, and we can have more sex together. And so you're not doing anything wrong by saying that. You're guiding him and saying what's wrong, what you need to get more into your marriage. So you're going to have to learn to do that if you want to supercharge your marriage. Okay. If you want to master your marriage as a woman, be more assertive, take control of your husband, because that's what he wants in terms of intimacy wise. He wants you to take charge, and he needs to be guided as to what he's doing wrong. And so if stuff irritates you, let's say you're driving around, right? If you go back to my earlier podcast, I talked about the driveway test. If the woman's driving around in a clunker with the kids and the husband's driving around in a brand new pickup truck with a sprayed on bed liner and the big old oversized 22 inch rims. Tell them, hey, you know what? It really bothers me that it irritates me that you're driving around a new vehicle and I'm driving around an old vehicle. It bothers me and it makes me unattracted to you. And throw it all out there and do it in a nice setting. Like take them out. If you're going to have a serious discussion about stuff like this, don't do it in the kitchen with the kids in the next room watching a movie on TV in the living room. Tell them, hey, can you take me out for a drink? I just wanted to talk about some things and maybe we could hang out together, kind of like that. And then you have one of the older kids watch the other ones or have a babysitter or, you know, do whatever you need to do to get your husband alone. And so that's how you would handle that. So I put out a lot of information. A lot of this stuff's going to go in my next book. I've just started writing it. It's a lot of work to do. And I have my PhD program I'm working on. And I have another book I'm writing about policing. So this podcast should though give you should act as a guide. It would help me out if you appreciate this podcast, if you would spread it to share it with to friends and family, or if you think there's couples that are having issues in their marriage, share my podcast to them. This is just the latest. This one is, you know, this one applies to females, but I actually had to do this with my wife. I learned all of this by my research and my experience in the field. And so I actually had to explain all of this to my wife and convince her to be selfish and to take control and to get what she wants, and that I was going to focus on her needs. So guys, if some of you are listening to this, and you can also sit your wife down and either have her listen to this podcast or explain to her what you want her to do and say, hey babe, hey sweetie, I want you to take more control and tell me what you want me to do to make your life easier and better so that we can have more intimacy and more sex, because that's how I feel. That's when I feel happiest, when you and I are being intimate, because you know, being intimate, it's the ultimate experience of being close to your partner. If you can't be intimate with your partner, then who the hell are you going to be intimate with? Nobody. So your partners have to satisfy each other's needs, because nobody else is going to. Porn doesn't do it. Porn's fake and it's a waste of time. So we have to, as couples, as spouses, we have to be each other's porn stars, okay? I got to be my wife's porn star, and she's got to be my porn star, because that's legit and real, and we're in a committed relationship, and with nobody else is going to be involved. So I have to try to fulfill her fantasies, and she has to try to fulfill my fantasies. And that's why we have to work and communicate with your spouse. But you have to really communicate. You have to really tell him, ladies, tell him what you want. Tell him what you don't like. If you feel like maybe he needs to take more showers and he doesn't smell all that good sometimes and it turns you off, tell him that. Or his breath smells like the chewing tobacco he's been chewing on, or the beer he's been drinking, tell him that nicely. Say, hey, can I talk to you in private? And then tell him what's going on. Take him out for drinks, or take him out for tea, or a dinner or something, a nice dinner somewhere, and say, hey, I want to have more intimacy with you, but here's what's stopping me. And then tell him, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. Can you help me fix this together so that we can have more sex and be more intimate? All righty. Well, that's it for today. I really threw a lot of material out there. I've been thinking about this stuff for a while, because I've been so busy, but I've been wanting to make this podcast for the females out there. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you share it with somebody that you think it would help out. Sex is not a nasty subject, especially between married couples. We need to stop not talking about sex, because sex can have the power to make, it has the power to make relationships, and then it definitely has the power to break up marriages and relationships. So talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with your best friend. If they're having issues, share my podcast, and I will see you next time. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. Today's Friday, April 29th, 2022. I will see you in the next one. And I'll try to make it sooner than this time. This one took me forever. Have a good weekend. Goodbye.
Today is another day.